Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gents, this is Arnt Eriksson, and welcome to the Marketing at Heart podcast. For those of you who have no background on me, I worked in the creative industry for more than 2 decades, starting off as a classic ad man, then later moving into the world of social media with focus on strategy and innovation. My passion and purpose is to simplify the complexity of marketing. I am also the creator of 5-Minute Friday, which is on YouTube every week with now more than 1 million downloads. But this podcast is all about compelling conversations with inspiring people, with their personal insight and perspective on everything connected to marketing. In today's episode, I'm sitting down with the Vice President for Communication and Marketing at Camic, responsible for the evolution of the brand both in Canada and internationally. This strong-growing third-generation family-owned company produces more than 70% of its boots in North America. As the number one children's winter boot brand in the United States, they also offer women's and men's boots and children's clothing. She's in charge of the development of communication plans, mainly in 5 countries and markets. She's a member of the executive committee and also responsible for the implementation and execution of the Camic.com e-commerce website. Here she is, Catherine Fortier from Camic.
Thank you for joining me on my weekly podcast. So for one, tell me a little bit about your background.
I've been working in marketing for about 17, 18 years. Mm-hmm. I've always been in brand marketing. I've started my career at Johnson & Johnson, working in consumer health products. And then after that, I moved on to food, where I stayed for a number of years, about 10 years in food, in cheese and yogurt at Belle Cheese with La Vache Qui Rit, and Danone, the yogurt, on the brand Oikos, mainly. Mm-hmm. And then after that, did a big jump here to change category completely to come to footwear. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice adventure.
Nice adventure.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, now you're at Camic. So tell me a little bit about the company and what's your role here at Camic.
Yeah. So Camic is a 120-year-old company. Mm-hmm. It's a Canadian company. It was purchased by the Cook company, the Cook family. So it's also family owned. Mm-hmm. Still the family running the company, very, very present. Mr. Cook, Mr. Gordon Cook, is present in the office most of the year at 83, 84 years old.
Wow.
So it's a great inspiration to have them around in here. So we've been making footwear in Canada for, as I said, 120 years. And I've joined the company about 9 months ago, so fairly new. Mm-hmm. So bringing a different perspective. It's something else to see a 120-year-old company moving in the digital age and trying to catch up to what the consumers' demands are.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my role here. But the official role is in communication. Mm. But I like to think that I have more influence in the company on different aspects of the business as well when it comes to you know, the type of products we should bring, or even how to look at the business overall.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you feel it is to work for a global company, like, and then scaling it, like you say, with the digital presence in a digital age transformation? Yeah.
What's interesting is I've always worked with global at global companies. So Johnson & Johnson is a massive company. Bell Cheese was also. So I was Canadian affiliate. I worked in the US for a little bit. So I've only worked for global companies. The very different aspect of this role is that the head office was never, I only worked at the remote offices. I never worked in the head offices, the worldwide offices. The big difference here is that we are much, much smaller than the other companies that I've worked with. And we do the strategy out of Montreal. So production, Canadian production, is about 75% of what we do is North American made, which for a footwear company is rare. Now that's a very different aspect. It's a different twist. What I found most challenging coming into this position is trying to structure the agencies around the project, and how do we, in this digital world, we no longer need, I don't think that we need to look at agencies and partners and structure in countries, although the insights have to be human insights and also bring local taste to it. But at the same time, the main strategy can come from Montreal. So that's a very different aspect. And also, we can ask our strategic partners to cover more countries because, you know, this expertise can be exported, I think.
That's true.
And you're well placed.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just to know that.
That's true. So what do you feel have changed in the world of marketing? What's different from your experience in the past and now, coming into 2018?
There used to be, when we were planning media in the past, the media agencies were telling us that we were finding a certain recipe for the brand. And then once we had found that recipe, then we could replicate it year over year. That was something that's a conversation that I've had a number of times with media agencies. It is no longer possible. That the media landscape is changing so fast, and we just had the news early last week about Facebook changing the algorithm around their feeds. And now, if part of your strategy was based on that, then what do you do? And so the media landscape is changing so fast that we can't. So for us, it's two things. The media landscape is changing extremely fast. And the way that consumers are purchasing products also, the retail world is changing extremely fast. And so what's really changed is that recipe that you have working for 1 year is no longer something you can sit on. You have to keep thinking ahead of the curve. So I would say, like, that's a critical change, at least in the way that we're doing brand management. And I had another point and I forgot what it was. But the other thing is also, like, what does not change and is becoming even more important is focusing on where the consumer is, finding where they are, how are they evolving, understanding their behavior, their attitudes towards products, and making sure that your brand, and not just your product, but your brand is relevant. Mm. So I think that's the relevancy of the brand was always critical, even 5 years ago, obviously. But there was if you had a great product, you could survive. Mm. Now it seems like if you want to thrive, you need to have your brand, because that's what's going to take you through the time and the changes of the retail landscape and the media landscape.
I think it's a combination of, do you have a brand legacy that people can relate to and have an emotional connection to, and also how good are you at getting their attention? Because attentionalism is like super important today, and that is again based on what kind of trust do you have, and what kind of perception does the consumer have of your brand?
Yeah.
So it's kind of super connected.
And at the same time, it's how do you make sure that you can have a conversations? You know, like in this proximity, you no longer want consumers, the authenticity being one of the very big mega trends out there. You want to make sure that the brand, people can be connecting with the brand, as you said, on an emotional level. Mm. And then once they're in, then you can have other conversations. But you have to think of what the conversation is you want to have with them, because it's no longer just a, hi, I'm here, kind of planning the peaks, but it's how do you maintain this relationship, and it feels like a relationship between the two.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what the consumers expect today. So which channels has, in your point of view, has worked well up until now?
it really depends on where the brand is at. So obviously it's always where the brand is at and what your consumer target is consuming as a channel. But if I take just like the bigger picture overall, certainly in raising awareness, the traditional media of TV or its digital form is still like a high reach media, and that has worked very, very well in the past. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we were able to see quite quickly, if you were putting an ad on TV, you could track your weekly sales and see for sure is your creative, your placement, is it working or not, because it was instant. Mm. That has worked very well in the past. What's different with Kamik here is one thing that has worked well for us is all of the influencer work that we've done. And I know you want to talk a bit more later about influencers, and maybe that's a good transition. But the influencers work has enabled us to get much more visibility than we would have as a small brand otherwise. Mm. And so that is something that's worked well.
Yeah. Interesting. As a retail brand, shoes retail, which kind of like it's a very physical product.
Yeah.
It's something that you need on a day-to-day basis. But how is that to communicate in the digital space, like e-commerce wise? Does it work?
Yeah, it works. But the thing is that even for footwear, and that's something I was very surprised. In the US today, there's 30% of footwear sales that are done through mobile. Mm. So just through mobile. Mm. So not even through desktop. Mm. And so close to 50% of the sales now are moving to online e-commerce. It is huge. Yeah. I was very surprised by that, because again, it's something you feels like you need to put it on.
Yeah.
But what the retailers have done is making possible the free returns or very low cost returns.
Yeah.
And that is changing the dynamic, and as you've seen also the Amazon push on shopping, I forget what the name is, but in any case, you can order a number of items and you get a discount based on how many items that you keep, and then it's free return.
Yeah.
And so all of that is changing the idea that you need to try things on, because then you can try it on at home. So they're just testing it, but Zappos, for example, offers you free return 365 days. That's crazy. So people order two pairs of the same size type of shoe, and then they only return the one they don't want. So it's an incredible cost for the retailer.
Yeah.
And so despite that, so this is why first, the way that consumers are shopping is really changing. The showrooming is also, is still very important, but the role of the retail, the offline retail, is changing for the consumers. Yes, they go showrooming, but they're also looking for more services. So the retailers are fast catching up on that kind of angle. So us as manufacturers, we have to be able to support this offline service type of, you know, supporting the retailers that way, but also making sure that we're very present in the digital space so that if they're looking at buying online, you're also present, you're top of mind, you're visible. So it's the double game that needs to be played right now.
And how does the retailers respond to the fact, like, I remember when Apple decided to launch the Apple Store, the retailers all around the world were like, what are you doing? Like, the margins are so low anyway, and now you're going to be our competitor. This is going to, like, ruin our business. Instead, both thrived even more. And how is it for, like, for Comic as a shoe brand? Does the retailers feel like you're competing with them, or do they feel that it's a very good addition to the service?
The thing is that Kemik launched the e-commerce on e-commerce only in October this year. So we came very, very late to the game. So again, as I was saying, a 120-year-old company trying to be, you know, coming, following the trends and becoming digital. So because we were so late to the game, it's expected today that you're going to have your own e-commerce site. The way that we're positioning it to the retailers is that consumers are going to be shopping online anyway. They can't be holding 100% of our assortment because we have 100 different types of shoes in all of their different colors. So our inventory and our Kamik shop is much bigger than what they could ever hold. And so the key sellers, they're still selling way more than we are, obviously. But our strategy is to, on e-commerce, is to have the full assortment, but not to be a competitor to our retailers. So
So leading back to the influencer marketing thing, number one, which type of influencers do you aim for? Are you going for the superstars, the ones that get the most attention, or are you more like down to the gatekeepers or the one that knows about the products or knows about fashion / shoes practicalities?
Well, we cover it all.
Okay.
So we have internationally. We do communication mainly in 6 countries, but then we are also sold in 30 countries. And so, in most of the countries where we have communication, we did influencers program. I'll give you a few examples. So in Norway, we partnered with Sandre, who is a free play expert, and he is a not so well-known person, but his content is very, very interesting. And so we want to push for the brand. We want to associate with the message that he has. And so we're making him bigger over time, I think. And so in order to give more visibility to the content he was posting, we used an ambassador that was a superstar. And then she was repurposing the content that he was producing mostly. So we did that. That works at a certain level. It works, and then in the U.S. we have our biggest ambassador program is in the United States, and there we go with partners in our 5 key cities. There we have main ambassador where they're going to be like doing a program, and it's a structured program with them, and we're giving them some material to help them create content, but it's their own content, and they are important ambassadors, and they also work with micro influencers in their program. And so although in one city we have one main ambassador, then we create event for micro ambassador, micro influencers, and so people that have 2,000-5,000 followers, they might be invited to the event and then creating content. But what we found is that often the big ambassadors are not the ones that are delivering the best results. And so that's why we needed this year to, we're in the midst of collecting all of the data now, but this is what it seems to be pointing to, is that the big ambassadors are more expensive, seem to have higher followings, not necessarily the same type of engagements, whereas if you're accumulating all of the micro-influencers, much cheaper to do, more authentic in terms of, and sometimes they're so happy, they're creating all sorts of things that you never ask them to create, and it really comes from them.
Yeah.
And to me, that has more value.
Mm.
And so we're going to be going ahead and moving along, but it's certainly one aspect that we are continuing to do.
Mm.
We're going to continue.
Interesting. So leading up to that, like, what's, since you have this 17 years experience in marketing, like, what's your point of view of what's coming in the age of marketing in the years to, or at least during 2018? I think it's hard to kind of like project what's coming in 2019.
For 2018, certainly 2018, for a media perspective or total marketing?
Yeah. it's an open question.
Okay.
I think it's more based on like how do you see from the position or the role that you have at this point.
Yeah.
Like how do you think marketing is gonna affect the business?
Yeah.
In this year.
For us at Chemic, it's interesting because every step we take is often a very new one, and so we're allowed to test a number of things and go forward. One thing certainly in 2018 that will be different is creating less content, but making sure that it gets seen. Mm. There was a proliferation of creating things for the sake of creating because it's nice to have a blog, a newsletter, you know, 10 posts a month on Facebook and that sort of thing.
Mm.
But the purpose is going to be more on the valuable content and then amplification.
Mm.
Like if I had to simplify it for this year
and
trying to, again, learn and move forward and a lot more work for us on focusing on this human truth around free play, but fewer, bigger, better.
Yeah. Well, that makes me happy to hear. I've been writing a lot of content regarding the fact that I think more and more companies has kind of like been fascinated and been drawn into the silver, like the next shiny object that is like flashing, and it's content creation. Let's just produce a lot of content and kind of forgetting the principles of the brand, like what's our brand message, what's our vision, like why should people listen to us, and then at the end, like what's the value that we provide to our customers.
Yep. Exactly.
And once you have that in place, then you can produce quality content, not quantity content.
Yes.
Mm. So I think that's really good. I'm happy to hear this.
Yeah.
So if you could, like, this is like a different type of question, but if you didn't work in marketing, what other type of profession would you like to have?
That is such a hard question. If I didn't have kids.
Okay.
No, but certainly, I don't know what it would be, but I would be in the outdoors, that's for sure. So,
oh, really?
So it would be, I started university doing a degree on outdoor pursuit to become a mountain guide.
Okay.
And then I figured that if I was going to do that, I could never pay my bills. So I decided otherwise. So I've been paying my bills.
Yeah.
But this is one thing that I love at Chemic. It's the first time in my life that I work in a category that I personally feel very, very close to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insights that can be driven, it's the two things. It's coming from a personal dedication to the outdoors and to a life of adventure
mm-hmm.
on my personal side. Having a family, so Chemic being over 50% of our sales is in kids'
mm-hmm.
boots. And so being able to bring insights from all sides of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think coming to a category that doesn't have the structure, I guess, of consumer products,
mm-hmm.
where you overanalyze everything. So it's a different mindset. It's a different way of looking at the business.
Yeah.
But in any case, I think I would, to answer your question, I think it would certainly be a profession. Actually, I wouldn't work. That's what I'd do. I'd travel. That's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
I'd travel. I'd run marathons, and I would be in the outdoors in the mountains. That's what I would do. See, I wouldn't work.
I see. Well,
who needs that? It's overrated.
It's an honest, honest answer. Okay. So, final question: what inspires you? Where do you find inspiration?
It's a very interesting question because I spent a fair amount of time. I'm also a coach by profession.
Mm-hmm.
And so as coach, you spend a lot of time thinking about your own motivations.
Mm-hmm.
What drives me in this work is that you can have a real impact on people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kamik, over the next couple of years, will talk more about outside free play, the idea that kids should be playing outside in an unstructured way, kind of bringing freedom back in life of kids, not only kids, but adults as well. And the idea that I can somehow have a small impact on people's lives is what the inspiration is.
Mm.
So you can look at it closer with my own team at work here and people in the company, and then bigger scope with the work that we do. If we can have a positive impact with consumers as well, then that I guess would be what drives me.
Nice. Thank you for taking the time to join me in this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay.